Reaching up, reaching over, and reaching out. We are New Life Christian Fellowship. For service times, articles, or recordings of our weekly messages, please visit us online at www.nlcfchurch.org. This message is brought to you by Kevin Weeb.
Have you ever wished that you could talk face to face with Jesus? We worship a God we cannot see, and we read about Jesus who existed at a certain particular point in time. We read the stories of him in the Bible, and we read of his love for us and how he sacrificed for us. And then we live our lives, and difficulties happen, and we face challenges. Or maybe we're really excited and we love God and we just wish we could talk to him about what's going on in our lives. And while we can talk to him in prayer, sometimes, I know if you're like me, you've just wished, sometimes I wish Jesus was just here face to face. I wish I could have a cup of coffee with Jesus, or that I could just sit across from him and ask him, Jesus, what do I do about this? Or Jesus, what is to come about that? Or Jesus, am I going to make it through this challenge that I am facing? All of these questions I would have for Jesus. Other times, I wish simply that he would be there to give me a hug or to just sit with me in silence to know that God's presence is, in fact, there with me. But more often than not, I have certain questions that would come along with such a visit. Jesus, what are you doing here? What's the purpose behind this? Why is this happening in our world or that? All kinds of questions I would have for Jesus, and especially the ones about what do I do about all of this stuff? What am I supposed to do about the challenges that we face? What is our role in fixing the mess that is our world? Jesus surely knows that our world is a mess. That's why he came to die for us on the cross. Have you ever wished you could talk face to face with Jesus? I know that I have. Today we are going to be talking about how the Spirit of God is our teacher. We're in a series called The Work of the Spirit, and we're talking about a passage that tells us that the Spirit of God is our teacher. The Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts once we accept Jesus as our Lord. The Spirit gives us certain gifts, like we talked about last week, different gifts to each person to be used for the glorifying of God and to bless the people of God and to reach out to the world. We're also told that we will grow in the fruits of the Spirit, as we looked at in the first message in this series. But today we're talking about the Spirit as our teacher. Let's dive into our passage, John chapter 14, verses 24 to 26. Jesus is teaching. He says, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. The other passage I want to look at is just a couple chapters down the road in John 16, verses 12 to 15. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So, if you didn't catch it, there's kind of an interesting thing that happens that Jesus says he teaches what he heard from the Father, and he says that the Spirit is going to teach not just anything, but what he hears from Jesus. There's this relationship between the Father, between Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, and what they teach is consistent with what comes from the other. When you hear something from the Spirit of Jesus, it's as if you're hearing it from Jesus himself. When you hear something from Jesus, it's as if it's coming from God the Father himself. This is not some kind of like differing messages. They're not going to be conflicting with each other. When the Spirit speaks, it is Jesus speaking. When Jesus speaks, it's the same as God the Father speaking, that there's one God. And in all of these things, we are getting consistent messages from the Lord, that it's not that Jesus is going to tell us one thing and the Spirit is going to tell us something different. That is not how it works. Or it's not that God the Father tells us one thing and then Jesus tells us something different. That's not how it works either. What Jesus teaches comes from the Father, and what the Spirit teaches says comes from Jesus, which also then comes from the Father. There's a kind of Trinitarian theology that kind of undergirds all of this, and if that's just a bunch of big $5 words, which they kind of are, Trinitarian theology, it's just a fancy way of saying that this is about, like, this is talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one. This is an important piece that's kind of part of Christian theology. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about false teachers and the passage in 1 John that we were studying together that talked about that if people deny Jesus, then that's a clear sign that they are false teachers. And so here too, it's one of those things where it's just reminding us once again that God consists of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A very important thing to remember as we get into this, that when we hear from the Spirit, it's going to be consistent with the teachings of Jesus. And in fact, one of the roles Jesus said of the Spirit is to remind the disciples of the teachings of Jesus. The first passage we read, John 14. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So the disciples were walking with Jesus for 3 years. Many of you have been in this church for 3 years. Now, I am not Jesus, but let's just say I asked you to remember everything you've heard in this church from me in the last 3 years. You'd probably go, ha ha ha. No, don't ask me that. And I'm not going to, though. The look on Jake's face makes me want to ask him to stand up and just see if he could do it. But no, I'm not going to do that. But it's hard, right? I don't remember everything my wife said in the last 3 years. And sorry, Emily. Maybe I should do better. But this is just a reality. We as humans are faulty. These disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, and now he's about to go away, and he's teaching them what is to come. He's saying the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will teach them, but he will also remind them what Jesus taught, right? So it's, this again, a consistency there, what Jesus taught and what the Holy Spirit is going to be teaching. It's going to be consistent with each other, but when we learn what Jesus taught, the Spirit will bring it to mind at the right time. So, how do we know what Jesus taught? Well, of course, we have that written for us in the Word of God. The Gospels, specifically, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, teach us the words of Jesus, teach us the life of Jesus. More than that, we have the whole Bible that teaches us about the ways of God, the actions of God through history that are there to teach us. And so maybe this has happened to you. I know it's happened to some of you because I've heard stories like this. But you read the scriptures and you study them. And maybe that day it just doesn't quite, you know, you read it and you don't think too much of it. All right. So then you go about your life and a few months later or maybe a year later, something happens. Something happens in your life and you're not exactly sure. And you want to know what God would think about this. And then you remember. Right as you're wondering, what would God think about it? Then you remember something you read in the Word of God, and you go and you pick up the Word of God, and you go, oh yeah, Jesus did talk about this. That's the Holy Spirit at work in your life, reminding you of what Jesus taught. That's the work of the Spirit. Sometimes we face situations that we don't know what to do either. And it may be new situations that are particular to our time in history. Of course, in the Bible, it doesn't talk about things like Facebook or social media. It doesn't talk about all kinds of different things and modern inventions, computers. any of those kinds of things. And so we might think, what does the Bible have to say about this? And so then there's a process of discerning together, and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and kind of helps us remember the Word of God and apply it fresh to a new generation. And often it's those same old truths coming out again and again in a different way. Those same old teachings about loving our neighbor as ourselves. And in terms of social media, we could use a fresh dose of this in our world because people are so cruel on social media. And it would be helpful for us to remember that God's ways involve loving one another and speaking truth to one another with grace. And we could use a fresh articulation of that for our time, those ancient truths just brought out for a new time in a new way, walking in the ways of God in the land that we live in and in the ways that the things that exist in our world today that we have to deal with. So my first point is just simply this, that the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus taught. Isn't that beautiful? That we actually have someone with us that will remind us of the teachings of Jesus. Now, in order to be reminded of something, you actually have to know it first, right? So that's the importance of being in the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, and more importantly, living out the Word. But then the Holy Spirit reminds us of this as time goes by, as we face different situations. So the question I asked at the beginning, or have you ever wished that Jesus could be there just to talk to? I know someday that will happen for all of us. But for now, we have the Holy Spirit, and this is not something lesser. In fact, Jesus says it is better for us that he leaves so he could send the Holy Spirit to us. Because if Jesus were here in the flesh, only one person could be there at a time talking to him, and maybe a few more of us could be sitting around him listening like they did, but we would have to travel from around the world to come to him. But the Holy Spirit exists everywhere, at all times, at all places, that dwells in the heart of every believer, so that every one of us is connected to God through the Holy Spirit, no matter where we are. This is like better than Starlink, like global positioning system. Like, we, no matter where we are, the Spirit of God is with us. That we don't need to have a link to a Wi-Fi connection or to some kind of internet connection to get the download of the day. This is so far above that. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, the Holy Spirit is with us. And so as we go through our lives, the Spirit guides us and reminds us of the teachings of Jesus so that we can be disciples of him. Next, the Holy Spirit teaches us what Jesus wants us to know. The Holy Spirit teaches us what Jesus wants us to know. Like I said a moment ago, there are situations in our world that the Bible might not address exactly. But the principles and teachings behind that will be in the Word of God. And it sometimes just takes wisdom and discernment to ask the Lord, how do we apply these ancient truths, these ancient paths? How do we walk in these ancient paths in these modern times? And the Holy Spirit teaches us how to do that, teaches us what Jesus wants us to know. I don't know if you've noticed this in the Gospels, but people ask Jesus all kinds of questions. I would ask him all kinds of questions too. I gave a few ideas of the questions that I would ask or would like to ask. But the thing about Jesus is he doesn't always answer people's questions the way that they want. We like to have our lines in the sand and our you know, it's rather this or it's this or one thing or the other thing. And the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus all the time with questions. And other people were just seeking to understand, but were then a bit confused about what's going on. So even in one of the most famous conversations with Jesus, Nicodemus is coming there, and Jesus says that you must be born again. And then Nicodemus is like, what? Can a man go back into his mother's womb after he's grown? How does, like, Jesus, that's ridiculous. How does this work? And he says, if you can't understand earthly things, what makes you think you're going to understand heavenly things? And I read conversations like that, and I go, oh, man. I ask a lot of questions too, and sometimes I have a bit of a hard time understanding. Maybe if I had a face-to-face meeting with Jesus like Nicodemus did, maybe I wouldn't like all the answers Jesus would give me anyhow. But Jesus will tell us what we need to know, and through the Holy Spirit, this continues to this day. God doesn't leave us hanging. God doesn't leave you hanging. Maybe you're facing something, and some of those things you really, really wish to know is not those things that you need to know. I'll give a personal example of this one. I really, really want to know that my wife is going to be okay. I really, really want to know that whatever is wrong medically, that once we get a diagnosis, that she's going to be all right, that the doctors can treat it, or that the Lord will work a miracle, one or the other, and that she's going to be okay. That's what I want to know. And I would ask Jesus this. I do ask him this in prayer. What is the answer that I receive from the Lord? What are the verses that the Holy Spirit brings to mind for me? It's not a yes or no about Emily being okay. But what the Lord reminds me of is that Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That the Lord will give me what I need for today. That the Lord will give me the strength I need to love my wife today in the midst of not knowing. That God will be with us in the midst of the uncertainty. That like it talks about in Psalms 23, that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I will fear no evil, for God is with me. That's what I need to know. But it's not what I asked, and it's not what I want to know. What I want to know is she going to be okay? And then I can just, all right, breathe easy and go about my life. Yep, she'll be fine. But I don't have any such answer. I trust that the Lord will do what's best. But I know there are countless situations, countless people of faith who have lost people too, despite wanting so badly and believing so fervently that the Lord would heal, and then they face tragedy as well. And so the knowledge about all of that, I don't know. That's been kept from me for the time being, at least. But the Holy Spirit teaches us what Jesus wants us to know. And for now, knowing that the Lord will give me my daily bread, knowing that the Lord is with us through this, that's what I really need. And that's what Jesus wants me to know, or that's what he's revealed to me at this point anyways. The Holy Spirit teaches us what Jesus wants us to know. And while it might not be as satisfying of an answer as what you desire, take comfort in knowing that God's plan is what's best, and he will guide you every step of the way. The Holy Spirit teaches us what is true. The Holy Spirit teaches us what is true. This is very important because there are so many who claim to be speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit, who speak what is false. There are many people claiming to speak on behalf of the Holy Spirit that speak things that are simply not true. Sometimes they directly contradict the Word of God. Just directly. You can go to the Scriptures and read exactly how they are contradicting the Word of God. Other times, you will know because, in the Old Testament, it says you'll know a false prophet by if their predictions are true or false. If they prophesy something and it's false, then you know they weren't prophesying the truth. Kind of basic, right? You know, you make a prediction, and if it comes true, then your prediction was true. If it was false, you know it was a false prediction, right? The Holy Spirit teaches us what is true, always. How we understand things, though, sometimes the Holy Spirit might say something to us or remind us of something, and we misunderstand it. Communication isn't an exact science with us humans. You ever play the game of telephone, where you sit in a big circle and whisper something into someone's ear, and then they whisper that same thing into the next person's ear, and the next, and the next, and the next, and you go around the circle, and the last person says what they were told. And it's usually not the same thing as what the first person said. That points out our own fallibility, our own the mistakes that we make so easily in trying to understand Now, if we can make mistakes that easily in understanding what someone says face to face, how much more can we misunderstand when we're not face to face with the Lord? So the Holy Spirit teaches us what is true, but we must also be careful that we don't misunderstand that truth. So the Holy Spirit will be teaching us what is true and what is consistent with the Word of God. Because remember, what the Holy Spirit is teaching is consistent with what Jesus is teaching and is consistent with what he hears from God the Father. And the Word of God, front to back, has God as the main character. The Holy Spirit teaches us what to say. The Holy Spirit teaches us what to say. Sometimes we're going to need to know how to respond in certain situations. And the Holy Spirit will be with us to lead us and guide us in that. In Luke 12, 11 to 12, it says, "And when you are brought to trial in the synagogues and before rulers and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said." So the Holy Spirit will teach us what to say in those times. Now, I do want to point out here, this passage is misunderstood so often. Some people use this passage, pastors sometimes, believe it or not, will use this passage to justify never preparing for a sermon. Can you imagine that? Never spending time studying because they say, the Holy Spirit will tell me what to say, and I rely on the Spirit to tell me what to say. And so they forego, they are against studying God's Word to prepare for their message. Well, first of all, that's a big problem because that's not what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about when you're brought before rulers and authorities, when there's persecution happening because you're a Christian and you're brought before the courts. That's what this is talking about. You're dragged before the courts and they're going to be interrogating you in front of a judge to decide your fate. Well, don't worry about those interrogations and what questions they might ask. Just trust in the Holy Spirit. He will teach you what to say. And there's different examples of this. In the book of Acts, you'll see different responses at different times. Stephen, when he was being confronted by leaders, he spoke this sermon kind of telling about the work of God in the world. And he also spoke of the guilt of the Jews and the death of Jesus as he's sharing the gospel. The same goes for when Peter was arrested. He reminds them of how they killed Jesus. But the Holy Spirit also told Paul in how he was brought before King Agrippa. He shares the gospel, and the Spirit leads Paul to share the gospel, and King Agrippa says, "Paul, you're almost persuading me to become a Christian now." And Paul says, "I wish everyone would, except, you know, that they wouldn't have to wear these chains like I do." So he shares the gospel with King Agrippa, and it's so convincing, King Agrippa almost accepts it. The Holy Spirit also told Paul that God wanted him to testify about Jesus to the leaders in Rome, the same leaders who would order his execution. So Paul goes to Rome knowing that they're going to execute him, also knowing that it is his job to stand before these leaders and talk about the gospel of Jesus. But the truth in this passage is that when we face extreme circumstances, we must not rely on ourselves, but trust in the Spirit of God. So we do what we can to prepare whenever we can, right? But we will still need to listen and trust the voice of the Spirit, not get consumed with worry about every little thing. We listen to the voice of the Spirit. We allow the voice of the Spirit to interrupt us, to give us words at times, or to hold our tongues at times. And for people who believe that pastors shouldn't study, I will just remind them that the Spirit speaks through the Word of God in times of studying. He's just as capable of doing that as in a moment of crisis. And I think it's negligent to not study the Word of God. Now, there's been times, lots of times actually, where I work all week on a message and it comes out a bit differently than I prepared it, because when I get up here, sometimes there's things in there where it just feels like it rather skip over a certain thing or add a certain thing in that I didn't think about that week, and I hold it as something kind of flexible when I'm preaching. Trying to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit as well, but the time of study and preparation is also very important. The last few years as well, we've been planning out our sermon topics a year ahead of time. You know how often it happens that we get to a certain message at some time, and what is happening in the world that nobody knew was coming is then just a perfect message for that day. And if I would have picked it, some folks in the pews might be like, oh man, he's just speaking to the government now, or he's just speaking to the crowd, when it was planned a year ahead of time. And most of us know this. The Holy Spirit is at work in our planning of that too. Planning and study are important, but we must remember that it is the Spirit that we rely on when we prepare ahead of time. It is the Spirit that we rely on when we're brought into situations where we don't have time to prepare, and it's hard to prepare, and we would be tempted to worry, but we can rely on the Spirit in those times to teach us what we need to say, or even when to hold our tongues. Another thing, just a problem we see in the world a lot, is we need to be careful not to confuse your imagination with the Spirit of Jesus. Don't confuse your imagination with the Spirit of Jesus. This happens, sadly, all too many times. This can be very hurtful and very damaging, because when we claim to speak from the Spirit of Jesus and it is merely our imagination, we become false prophets. We become false teachers, preaching out of our own heads instead of preaching from the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. We can convince ourselves that what we're saying is in line with the Spirit when it's only our imagination. This is dangerous. Jeremiah 23:16, this was happening there. Do not listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile hopes. They are making up everything they say. They do not speak for the Lord. This happened then. It happened in Ezekiel's time. It happened in Isaiah's time. There was false prophets all through the Old Testament. We're warned of false prophets all through the New Testament. It continues to this day. There are many stories I could share of people claiming to speak for the Lord. Sometimes directly to me. Sometimes directly to me, saying they have a message from the Lord. And when we, you know, try to weigh it and think, is this true? Where it has not been true, it's been opposed to the Word of God, and where the predictions have just been completely false, where people just let their emotions and their imagination run wild, and they don't spend time in the Word of God, and they just want to look powerful. And so they abuse the Spirit of Jesus in trying to gain power over others and speak from their imaginations, speak from maybe their hopes and their dreams, or speak from their ill will towards others even. They claim to be speaking on behalf of God, but don't. And we can do that too. Each one of us is capable of that. Last week we talked about spiritual gifts, and one of the spiritual gifts was in fact discerning the spirits when people claim to be talking for God. That it is a spiritual gift to be able to discern when something is from the Lord or not. But the more time we spend in God's Word, the more we will learn to hear His voice. The more time we spend in God's Word, the more we will learn to hear His voice. Let's check out John 10:27-30. Jesus is teaching. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me and He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Here we go with that the Trinity stuff again. Jesus and the Father being one. This comes up so often in the Scriptures, so we just need to remember, take note of it. It's important. But what I want us to look at here is Jesus saying, "My sheep listen to my voice." I know I've said this before, but how do we learn someone's voice? How did you learn to recognize my voice? How did I learn to recognize your voice? Now, imagine back in the days before we had call display, because now when I get a phone call, if you've called me before and I have your contact information in my phone, it'll tell me who is calling. So if it's Emily calling, I say, hi, babe. I don't say babe when Bill is calling. I'll say, hi, Bill. But before the days of call display, we would call people, and so if you knew someone very well, you go, hello, and they'd say, hi, Kevin, how are you? I go, I'm doing good, Bill, how are you? Just in that short little bit, I would know his voice. Why? Because I've listened to his voice enough to recognize it. I don't know how this happens. There's probably some mathematician or some algorithm or some kind of app where they can check out voice patterns and do voice recognition stuff, but this happens from young on. Little babies already can learn to discern their mother's voice and their father's voice. By the time they're born, children recognize the voice of their mother and their father. Those voices they've been hearing since the moment they were conceived. How do they learn it? Just time spent listening. Before the babies understand what I'm saying, they know that it's me that's saying it. When Jasmine was born, before she was born, I would sing this song every night, a little lullaby that I wrote for our children, and I sang it every night to Emily's belly. And after she was born, she was crying in the warming tray, and Emily's still on the bed, and we're like taking care of Jasmine. Sorry to say, Emily was crying. Jasmine was crying in the warming tray. She was just born, and the doctors are taking care of Emily, and I'm there with Jazzy, and I start singing to her. I start singing this lullaby to her. And before she even knew what any of those words meant, she just calmed right down, and she turned and looked at me. She knew my voice. She knew the sound of me singing, and it brought her comfort, even before she knew the words I was saying. We learn God's voice by listening to him. Even if we don't understand what he's saying just yet, even if we don't know what it all means just yet, do you want to learn to understand the voice of the Spirit? The most clear way we can do this, keep reading the scriptures, keep listening to the scriptures for those of us who are not able to read. We can get into those apps and listen to the word of God. We let these words wash over us, even if we don't understand it all. Let the words of God pour into our minds, pour into our hearts. And in time, we will learn more and more. And we will learn to discern what's the voice of God. And we'll learn about the warnings about the voice within ourselves, that voice of selfishness, the voice of pride, the voice of sin, or the voice of foolishness. And as we learn to discern that, suddenly we can begin to hear the voice of God, that still small voice. And sometimes we'll face a situation and we'll ask, God, what do we do? What do I do here? And it's not like it says in the Word of God, this is what you do in this situation, because it doesn't quite work like that. But then the Spirit of the Lord might say, what if you do this? And you will know, you will just know that it's God asking you to do something. Or maybe you're saying, God, what do I do? And you'll hear the still small voice and it'll say, just rest. Just rest in me, abide in me. You don't always have to be working and doing. Sometimes you need to rest too. And you might hear that, the Spirit saying that to you. I don't know what the Spirit is always going to say in every situation. That's the Spirit's job. But my sheep listen to my voice. When we first got our sheep and we would talk to them, they'd run away. They didn't know us. They were a bit scared of us. Over time, they learned that we fed them, that we gave them treats, and now it's just such a joy. Yesterday, I went to the grocery store with Jasmine, and before we went, she said, good morning, to the sheep. And they came running across the pasture. They heard her voice, and they come running. It takes time, but we can learn people's voices, and the same goes for God's voice. We can learn. Remember that piece about it not contradicting Jesus? The voice of the Spirit won't contradict Jesus. It won't contradict God the Father. And this word we have in the Bible comes from God. We call it the Word of God. We can learn to hear what sounds like Jesus' voice by reading the Word of God. We can learn to hear the voice of God through the Scriptures. through learning what Jesus did, through learning what God did from the beginning of time until the end of these, well, the end of the book hasn't happened yet. We have revelations, prophecies about the future, what's to come. But we can see the character of God, we can see the actions of Jesus, and we can learn to hear what sounds like Jesus. What sounds like his voice? Like those old days. I was going to call them the good old days, but I really like having call display. So it wasn't quite as good, but we'd pick up the phone, hello, and then it's a familiar voice, and you know immediately who it is. We can learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit as well, the voice of Jesus. I just want to encourage you today to listen for the voice of God. Listen for the voice of the Spirit. Be careful not to let your imagination run wild. Be careful to check what you hear against God's word. And then to be obedient to whatever it is the Spirit is asking. Spend time listening to God. Learn his voice. Many of you will likely already know it. And then on that day when Jesus returns, on that day we finally get to meet him face to face like I would like to do so much. And he says, "Welcome home." It'll be like I pick up the phone and it's someone that I know and love on the other end. You're the voice. That is your voice. And we will know it deep in our hearts. We will hear it maybe audibly for the first time, but we will know the voice of the Lord. Because the Spirit of God is speaking to us. And maybe sometimes it takes faith to believe that. Maybe sometimes the Spirit of God reminds us of just simple truths of the Bible, of what is right and what is wrong, pointing us to do right and to do good and to obey the teachings of Jesus. And then we live in faith that this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We live believing that this is God's word. There's a song that I liked when I was younger. It was called "Smell the Color 9." And the singer says, "I could take no for an answer just to know I heard you speak, but I'm wondering why I never see the signs that they claim they see. A lot of special burning bushes meant for everybody but me. Maybe I don't truly know you, or maybe I just simply believe." And then he says, "Because I can sniff, I could see, and I can count up pretty high, but these faculties aren't getting me any closer to the sky." It's this song about having faith, even over the simple things. It's not always something flashy. The voice of the Spirit isn't always something really flashy, or it's not a booming voice from heaven, but so often it says, as Jesus said, reminding us of the teachings of our Lord. Reminding us of the Word of God and applying it fresh for our time in our way. Maybe you're thinking, "God, how do I treat that coworker?" And the Bible doesn't tell you, you know, over at your work, how to treat that person at that job, but it will tell you how we ought to treat one another, that we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. There's all kinds of wisdom into how we live with one another and respond to one another in this life. Maybe God will remind you of a passage and press that upon your heart, and you'll go back to the Word of God and read it, and it will be applied fresh in a new time in a new way. And so many times I have seen the Lord work in my life and in the lives of many here today who share stories of God at work. And you will probably think of a few stories yourself right now. But keep listening for the voice of the Spirit. The Spirit is our teacher. While we can't just now ask Jesus, "Jesus, what do we do about this or that?" like the disciples could in the Gospels while they walked with him in this land, we can ask the Spirit. Remember, he will give us what we need to hear. He He will teach us what we need to know. It might not be like what we wanted to know. And remember, Jesus didn't actually do that either in the scriptures. He didn't just tell everyone exactly what they wanted to know. Just before he leaves, he's about to ascend to heaven, and the disciples are with him. And, you know, he died, he rose again, they've seen him, they know the power of the resurrection now. And they ask Jesus a burning question. Jesus, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says, it is not for you to know the day or the hour, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be his witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus didn't tell them what they wanted to know, but he told them what they needed to know. And so if God isn't answering your question, if God is not answering the question that you are asking, maybe listen a little closer and the Spirit of Jesus might be answering a different question, a better question, a question that you really need to be asking instead. Maybe you're asking why today, and maybe God isn't telling you why, but maybe the Spirit will tell you what next, or will tell you how to get through today. And for right now, maybe that is enough. The Spirit is our teacher and is at work in our lives, teaching us and leading us in the ways of God. Let's pray.